And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Still early in the week.
Early in the week, early in the day. What can you do about it? Just ride it out.
Feeling a little bit groggy, but getting through it.
Power through. You know, recently I was reminded by a really good friend of mine, maybe we can just let a bad day be a bad day. That's all right. Just get through it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We can't really do much to change the situation. So yeah, might as well accept it and just get along with it.
Right? All right. Let's jump into our keyword news portion of the day. So more specific framework, strengthening a partnership with the UAE. Let's elaborate on this front. This is our first keyword of the day.
Joint declaration.
So President Yoon Suk-yeol and the leader of the UAE have adopted a joint declaration to deepen the special strategic partnership between the two nations. A lot of grounds to cover here. Can you tell us the details of the framework?
Right, so we kind of outlined or kind of summarized their summit in a previous segment. This basically puts all of this into kind of official writing, if you will. The declaration covered 14 points under three headers, which are strengthening cooperation in key areas, enhancing future-oriented cooperation, as well as peace and stability. As stated, the UAE's promise to invest $30 billion in Korea, which we mentioned yesterday. It also states the two countries agreed to strengthen strategic cooperation in areas including economy, energy, nuclear energy, defense, as well as the peace on the Korean Peninsula. The two leaders acknowledged the partnership as a platform for further cooperation in clean energy fields, such as production and utilization of hydrogen and ammonia, deployment of clean energy infrastructure, and development of industrial ecosystems for renewable energy. The pair also expressed their determination to deepen and accelerate collaboration in the peaceful nuclear energy sector, both by successfully completing the Baraka nuclear power plant project and by jointly pursuing additional nuclear projects, whether in the UAE or in third countries. They also welcomed further cooperation in the field of peaceful nuclear energy through the high-level consultation on nuclear cooperation. They agreed to seek ways to expand this cooperation into new areas, including evaluating the potential of small modular reactors. The other points covered by the statement included cooperation on space, new industries and digital transformation, future mobility, as well as smart infrastructure. Under Korean Peninsula issues, the two leaders reaffirmed that North Korea's relentless pursuit of nuclear and missile developments poses a serious threat to peace and stability, not only on the Korean Peninsula, but also in the whole world. It is Korea's first overseas nuclear power plant project, the Baraka plant, and a symbol of the two countries' cooperation. That seems to be kind of one of the key areas, this nuclear diplomacy, if you will. Now, when all four units are in operation, the plant will supply up to 25% of the UAE's power needs. So it seems like that is a major project for the two countries. And the president visited that plant as well with the UAE leader. So that is possibly a sign of more nuclear deals to come.
All right, with that, we move on to our second keyword of the day.
Forced labor talks.
So taking you back to the heart of the strained Seoul-Tokyo ties, Korea and Japan held working-level diplomatic consultations on ways to compensate Korean victims of Japan's wartime forced labor under the 2018 rulings by the Seoul Supreme Court. What's the latest, Adam?
Right, Cho Min-jung, who is the Director General for Asia and Pacific Affairs at Korea's Foreign Ministry, met with her Japanese counterpart Takahiro Funakoshi for discussions at the Japanese Foreign Ministry in Tokyo. It marked their first face-to-face discussions after Seoul formally floated the idea of using a public foundation based in Korea to pay the compensation for Korean victims who won lawsuits against two Japanese firms. Embroiled in this matter. Victims and supporting civic groups have rejected the plan, though, calling for Japan's apology and direct involvement by the accused companies in the compensation process. Seoul's ministry says she briefed the Japanese official on public sentiment at home surrounding the issue, but it stopped short of providing further details. The two sides agreed to continue, though, close communication on pending issues going forward. Seoul and Tokyo have held several rounds of working level consultations on ways to resolve the issue, but no real breakthrough has been made yet. This is certainly a long-standing issue that's had a lot of discussions with previous governments as well, but no real solution seems to be have been made at the moment. Meanwhile, Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida said he would resolve the compensation issue as quickly as possible. The comment appears to be in response to Korea's unveiling of its compensating plan. The presidential office here also hopes for better relations with Tokyo as well. There were reports that Yoon and Kishida will hold a summit next month, possibly to discuss such issues, but the top office says it's too early to tell, so downplaying any reports of suggesting that a summit is planned for February, but one could happen soon. Who knows?
All right, but I mean, at least in the recent set of meetings and the public discussion, there doesn't seem to be a middle ground that would make both sides happy. But we'll leave it there for
Right.
now because it doesn't mean that the goal doesn't remain that both sides want to, well, recover the strained relationship. Let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Mask debate.
So, health authorities in the country and experts will be holding discussions on the possible lifting of the indoor mask mandate from today. You know, I thought I acclimated to wearing this mask and powering through the 2-hour live show. Some days it's a little bit tough than others. What can we expect, Adam?
Right, I could only imagine. I remember I was once in that studio as well. I think it was last year or a year before.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, even for 15 minutes in my small segment, it was a bit tough at times. But I could only imagine what 2 hours of that face mask and talking continuously must feel like. Now, top infectious disease expert Tong Yisok says the country's infection trend has shown significant signs of subsiding, and indoor mask mandates may soon be lifted. He noted infections over the past 7 days were down 27% from a week earlier. He said the country is not too far from lifting the indoor mask mandate, as he expects the country's infection trend to maintain the status quo even after a mask-free policy. Now, the country added a little over 14,000 new infections yesterday, which is the lowest Monday tally in 12 weeks, so more signs that the trend is certainly on a downward path. Korea is also currently the only country among OECD member states requiring masks to be worn in all indoor spaces. So there's a lot of pressure, especially from the Korean public, to say, why are we the last ones to still have this rule? Earlier in December, the government announced that if two out of four criteria are met, masks will no longer be required, but instead a recommendation in public places will be required or recommended instead, except for high-risk facilities, of course. The four criteria are a stable number of daily infections, and specifically continuously declining infection numbers over a 2-week period, reductions in the number of critical cases and the fatality rate, a sufficient capacity of ICU beds to treat critically ill patients, and booster vaccination coverage among the elderly. Now, as of Sunday, three out of these four criteria, except for booster vaccination coverage, have reached target figures. Nevertheless, the health authorities are still deliberating over whether to end the mandate. The authorities are expected to share details of the meeting that's happening today, either tomorrow or on Friday. It remains uncertain whether the mandate will be dropped before the upcoming Lunar New Year holiday. There are reports suggesting that it might come after the Lunar New Year holiday because, of course, it is a time of the year where a lot of people gather in indoor spaces for sometimes a day or two. So there is even more of a risk of infections increasing, but of course, we won't know anything until possibly later this week.
All right, we thought we'd move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Education reform.
So the government and the ruling party have discussed a plan to have daycare centers at elementary schools stay open until 8 p.m. As you can imagine, if that comes into fruition, it would do wonders for working parents. This is part of the Yoon administration's big and rather ambitious education reform plan. Can you go through maybe the details?
Right. The People Power Party did urge the government for preparations to successfully implement the plan. It stressed that the plan would reduce the gap in education between daycare and kindergarten. It also called on the Education Ministry for support in relevant qualifications for teachers as well as related facilities. The plan is aimed at reducing the burden of childcare, especially for working parents, and minimizing the educational gap between students of different backgrounds as well. Currently, after-school childcare programs and after-school extracurricular programs are operated separately from schools, but the new plan will kind of merge the two. The program is also planned or expected to be implemented in around 200 schools this year and gradually be expanded to include all schools nationwide by the year 2025. A special care program for first grade students only will also be implemented to minimize working parents' difficulties in taking care of their children and adjusting to the new schedule. The schools finish earlier than kindergartens. Most after-school childcare programs will be complimentary, but parents will still need to pay for their child's snacks and meals. This was met and has been subject to some criticism, and the People Power Party said it will discuss the issue further with the government.
All right. So at least some plans to head towards that ambitious educational reform plan. We'll keep tabs on it. And finally, our last keyword of the day.
Self-employed.
So you and I. The proportion of self-employed people in South Korea touched a record low in 2022 in the wake of the pandemic. As these data go, of course, you have to take it with a grain of salt. But let's first take a look at the details.
Right. So Statistics Korea data shows Korea economy had just over 5.6 million self-employed people as of the end of December. That accounts for about 20% of the 28 million employed in the country. That proportion was also the lowest since data tracking began in 1963. It was also 17 percentage points lower than the all-time high of 37.2% that was recorded in 1963. Now, the number of self-employed people have been falling since peaking at 6.2 million in 2002. Self-employed businesses with employees came to about 4.3 million last year, which is the highest in 14 years, in fact, with the number of those without employees rising to about 1.4 million last year from 1.3 million in 2021. Now, Korea's self-employed people have been hit hard by the pandemic and subsequent social distancing measures, which have sent the country's consumer spending slumping. In contrast, the proportion of wage earners, in the country hit an all-time high of 76.5% last year, which is up from 76.1% in 2022. It's also 45 percentage points higher than in 1963. Now, the number of wage and salary workers also soared to a new high of 21.5 million. So it seems like a lot more people are finding jobs with more, say, if you will, stability and a more consistent income rather than self-employed people like you and I, who are always at risk of, I don't know, I'm going to be careful, but job security isn't the greatest when it comes to self-employed, but I think people tend to go for more safety and secure measures, especially in light of the pandemic as well, because there were a lot of layoffs, of course, with subcontracted workers as well, with businesses struggling to pay wages. So, yeah, this all has kind of economic ripple effects.
Never in our keyword news report have I been so envious of people who have stability.
Right. Likewise.
Thank you very much for the updates. I'll see you tomorrow.
You're very welcome. See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.